Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy, be healthy, stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
I'm so happy today. I'm here with Natasha Trenev and Dr. Andy Kogelnik, and we're going to talk about some things that I think you're going to find to be quite interesting. You heard us talk before about hopefully learning to regain that one-on-one relationship with our doctors and getting to spend more time other than like a three-minute egg timer and being able to be really, truly relating relationships and creating and have those ongoing relationships. Dr. Kogelnik, this unique open medicine concept of yours, I'm really enjoying this. I think this is the future, and I'm so glad that you're pioneering this mentality and really behind it and bringing it to us.
Well, thank you. You know, we just saw a real need and a real gap in where medicine was and where it's going in terms of reducing the amount of time that a physician has with a patient, but also in using technology to try to measure different things about the patient, both when they're in the office, but also in the huge amount of time they're at home and doing different things with their diet, their exercise, and their medications. And we just saw a real need for that to sort of fill in, and it's really resonated in a lot of corners, particularly around inflammatory diseases.
Well, you know, I know Natasha will chime in on this because the idea of specialized attention to patients and flexibility and being able to have that hands-on customer attention and client attention and patient attention, because you're creating relationships on every level, I'm sure, Natasha, this is something that you would definitely be a fan of.
I heard Dr. Kogelnik's work because we do see more chronic conditions in the country than ever before. Just the cases of autism. In the 1970s, 1 in 10,000 children were diagnosed with autism. Now, the new CDC numbers look like they're going to be 1 in 42, and that just mortifies me. We can see the rise of Lyme disease. We can see chronic digestive problems, inflammatory disease, autoimmune disease. It's just the numbers are climbing from decade to decade, and I think my concept of, you know, the proper diet for the proper patient and the proper exercise program and the proper probiotic supplementation is where we need to start as a foundation, and then have the good doctors add specific things that they feel that each patient needs to allow their body to heal itself. I'm a big fan of giving the body the proper nutrients and the proper tools to heal itself. And we know, for instance, that we think that we're doing everyone a favor by telling them they should be eating raw foods. And go back to this health food industry for 45 years. And if you have an inflammatory bowel disease, you can't really eat raw vegetables and raw fruits because you're going to be on the floor curled up in a fetal position in terrible pain because now your intestinal lining needs to be healed because it's very inflamed, and anything that's not digested properly will cause a great deal of pain and more inflammation. So I think we have to be cognizant of what diet we give to what person and what patient, and what supplementation of probiotics we give to each patient, and what exercise. If someone's not feeling very well, you don't tell them to go to the gym and do a heavy workout for half an hour. You tell them maybe to start taking a short walk every day. So those are the kind of common sense things that we have to start incorporating to the advice for each individual to help them achieve their health state that they're looking for.
Dr. Kogelnik, let me ask you a question. The idea of this open medicine concept, has it been well received within the medical industry? And does it also incorporate in the idea of integrative, you know, where you're open to, you know, the individuality of the patient as well, but also individual ways of approaching the health situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the root of the open medicine concept is really increasing transparency and really openness to measuring and looking at anything and everything in medicine, because we need to. You know, Natasha's comments about bacteria and the microbiome are key. I mean, there are 10 times more bacteria in your gut than cells in your body. And we, you know, food is medicine, as the old adage goes, and everything that we put in our bodies has an effect on those microbiota. And that actually, in turn, has an effect on your immune system, on your inflammatory response. We've now been able to track people in our different studies from health state to inflammatory bowel, to use Natasha's example, back to health and actually various wanderings around, strictly on the makeup of their microbiome. And that actually is a huge insight, because there are so many, as you've already noted and Natasha was speaking to, there are so many inflammatory diseases that have kicked up, be it in IBS or autism or post-Lyme disease syndromes. The number of inflammatory types of diseases and syndromes has been hugely on the rise. And part of that is due to our food sources, but part of that is also due to a lack of ability on the clinical side of how we diagnose these and how we really look at these and the ability to spend some time doing that. And that's one of the areas that we've really focused and made a lot of traction on.
Well, let me ask you the question that I ask many other doctors that I talk about. You know, there was a time when I was growing up, I'm in my mid-50s, so I was growing up, and there was a time when most of the diseases and the health problems were in the quote-unquote geriatric category, and obviously that wall has come down, and now these one-time old-age geriatric diseases that are the realm of cardiovascular and circulatory and inflammatory diseases are now spread toward people of many younger ages. Are you seeing it as well? I mean, is it true? I mean, have we opened the door and now we're suffering with these things at a much younger age?
Well, I think there's been a number of things contributing to this. Mm-hmm. For one thing, we've shifted our food sources and the way we get our food over the last 10 to 20 years dramatically. For example, most chicken now comes from one of five farms, whereas 10, 20 years ago, we had a lot of local small producers. And Natasha already spoke to sort of standards. The standards in the supplement and vitamin and probiotic industry have been very loose in terms of knowing, as a physician, knowing what your patient is getting, and as a consumer for that matter, knowing what you're getting varies dramatically from one product to another. And so that can grossly affect these conditions when you think you might be getting something and you're not, or if you're not getting it through your food source as well, the level of change that happens in the microbiome in those cases can be tremendous and can make one person, obese and inflamed and a cardiovascular risk versus changing another one to a much more metabolically efficient kind of individual. And so we see that change going on, I think, in broad scale. And it's really being grossly affected by, as I said, the food sources, as well as environmental changes and other sort of pressures on the body from the environment.
Natasha, the individuality part of this whole concept, it just drives home your message more about knowing what you're using with a probiotic, knowing your diet, knowing the exercise that is right for you that you can stick with. I mean, that individuality is just, it's just ringing your healthy trinity way of looking at our health.
Absolutely. It's concerning to me. I feel that Western medicine is terrific at handling critical care. And I think in many instances, antibiotics do save lives. The problem has been that, many of these chronic diseases are treated with low-grade antibiotics that are given over several years, and then there's no steps taken to reestablish the health of the microbiome or the microbiota, and that leads to a host of other diseases. So this business of using antibiotics indiscretionally is causing the problems, because I'll give you a couple of examples that when you take any antibiotic, your susceptibility to other infections increases exponentially, because whereas before your normal health would prevent the infection of microbes coming in through the food, the water, the drinks that you have, and you would take like maybe 10,000 to 20,000 of these microbes to manifest an infectious state or a state where you would be vomiting or having diarrhea. Well, when you're on antibiotics, it could take as few as 10 of these microbes to cause the same effect that it would if you were otherwise unhealthy. So we have to start thinking about this, that yes, we're taking this antibiotic to help us with a certain condition, but in the meantime, we're destroying the integrity of our microbiota and microbiome. And that's why I have always said that you have to have the measure of a probiotic that you're taking 2 hours after the antibiotic. And when you finish your course of antibiotics, you have to double up on your proper probiotic supplementation two or threefold for at least 2 to 3 weeks to make sure that you have, you know, some kind of reestablishment of that microbiota so that you're not susceptible to these diseases that are, you know, now available through our food and through personal contact. Many people don't even know that you probably have more microbes on your iPhone than you do on your toilet. And so we're transmitting these bugs all the time. And on top of that, we have now resistant microbes to all forms of antibiotics in the community, where it used to be just in the hospital. But now things like MRSA and C. diff are in the community. So you can pick it up. If your immune system is down and you're unlucky to pick up a stronger dose, maybe at the gym of MRSA or maybe visiting a friend in the hospital of C. diff, you're going to have big problems, and it's going to change your life, usually forever.
Doctor, let me ask you a question. You know, today it seems like when people go to their doctor, they don't want to be honest with their doctor about taking supplements. You know, they're afraid that their doctor is going to tell them not to do it. People are not honest with their physicians. I mean, I hear from people all the time. I do consultations all the time. And I think that this concept that you're creating is not only going to be a hands-on-hand better way of people having that relationship with their physician, but I think trust is going to come back. And I like your idea about transparency, but I think people are going to be more honest. They're going to have that check and balance system. And I have a feeling you're probably going to be incorporating in some of the technology available today, maybe apps and things where people can keep tracked and communicate. So it's really very timely and very relevant. And if I could say from my heart, really, truly necessary, because we're slipping so fast and people don't think about anything until they start falling apart at the seams these days.
Well, I appreciate that, because I think you're spot on, and that's part of the reason why we're running at this. You know, we're definitely trying to collect and enable not only better trust, but better data transfer between patients. So if you have an app on your phone and you could track, you know, some symptoms, your physician could then very easily see that in a quicker dashboard that's looking at the things that are relevant from their perspective. That would enable a lot better communication between the patient and physician. And in those, you know, 4 to 8 minutes, which is about what the average patient-physician visit is these days, it's really hard to transfer that information. So even if there is that trust there, the ability to transfer that information, especially as some of these diseases get more complex, is pretty limited. So that's a big part of what we're trying to drive at. So patients can come in to use our website or our app and enter their own information and track things for their own purposes, but then share the relevant things out to their doctor. And it's only when we get that level of participation that we can start to use those for research purposes and look at, oh, well, what was the effect of this probiotic on this kind of a condition. And that's where we started to have some big successes, is when we can start to make those measurements. But it's really a big shift from the way we practice now, and which is sort of more guidelines driven and more cookie cutter, to you know, this idea of precision medicine and really individualizing each person's course and journey, not only through the healthcare system but through life as a whole. There's a heck of a lot of stuff out there that we don't measure outside of the clinical visit that happens to patients, and we need to connect to that. And part of that, I think, goes back to reestablishing trust of that the physician and their guidance over that patient's life. And really, that's a key piece of all this.
You know, I'm a huge
technology
proponent.
Really just enables it.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of customer service. And, you know, personally in my own life, if I go to a store and someone just waves me over and doesn't greet me and stuff, I have a hard time going back to that store. You know, I mean, I was raised at a time when respect for the people that came in your store, just like patients going into a medical clinic and people going into a health food store, you know, we need to be greeted. We need to have that one-on-one. And I think it is really, really missing in our society today. And, you know, you'll find isolated places where you feel really treasured as both a customer and a patient and as a client. And I think we need to start embracing that. And if people start thinking, you know what, I want this again. You know, I'm old fashioned. I want to go back to the full service gas stations when they run out and do your tires and your oil and your windows. I miss that. Yeah. I mean, I think that was a great time in our life. And I think we're going to have to start backspinning a little bit to bring back this quality. And I think, Natasha, I think that you're on board with that too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that people need specific care more today than they've ever have. And I think that 30 years ago, we had a lot of common sense, whereas I call it the three generations of microwave people that really don't understand the perishability of food. They don't understand the essence of food, and they just pick up things that, you know, are sprouted off and in what I call 10-second sound bites. And that's leading us down the path of disease. And I'll give you a few examples. Look, I'm an original health food person that was taught by the greats, and I'm a great believer in juicing and having green juices. My problem comes in where these young people who work these juice bars are never taught how to sanitize the equipment. And once you break down the barrier of that vegetable or that fruit, the contamination level becomes exponential. You know, and people think, oh, I'm drinking this green juice, I'm buying it, it's raw, it's unpasteurized, it's great for me. But they never think about the microbial load. That's one thing that we in the health food industry have really not transferred to people. And I think the doctors need to understand that. I think doctors are basically taught that microbes should be handled from an infectious disease role and handled with antibiotics. But rarely does anybody teach their patient about sanitation and about what kind of foods that they should consume or what kind of sanitary conditions they should apply in their personal life to minimize that bacterial load that comes in. Because I think the majority of the people don't understand that even when, you know, the food is supposedly clean, it still has a load of bacteria. It has a lot of bacteria in the food, especially today, because of the environmental changes that have come about. And I think this ignorance is not bliss. It's causing the problem with our children. For instance, in the last 30 years, the most appropriate and beneficial bacteria that can be transferred from a mother to the infant has disappeared in westernized cultures. And, you know, to me, I was sounding the alarm bell 30 years ago, but people looked at me, you know, like a deer light with a facing the lights. they just bounced off their head or whatever, but they're not understanding that even mothers who now breastfeed and deliver children vaginally are not passing on this bacteria. And this bacteria is so important to establish that crosstalk between the immune cells and the newborn infant and that delicate relationship that needs to be established so we can have healthy and well-functioning children. And so we have to go back from the beginning and not tell stories to ourselves or just buy stuff that, you know, is easier to pick off the shelf, but really think about what it is that we're consuming and what impact it's having on our health.
No, I think that makes good sense. You know, doctor, I think that the bottom line is going to be with people just being more aware. And I think that awareness is going to come from open communication and honesty and transparency. And I think that you're truly in line with what you're doing, because I think it's going to be groundbreaking. So I give you kudos for this new concept. Isn't it funny? It's a new concept now. And 60 years ago, we had the open concept. You know, we had it all back then, and then we got rid of it all. And now we're just trying to backpedal to find this amazing balance that we had one time in our life before we basically gave it up. I want everybody to know.
Yeah, in many ways, we're making things simpler again.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was saying, making it simple again, back to basics. We're talking today about this open medicine concept and patients getting individual and hands-on customized attention and flexibility and having the specialized attention that is so important. You know, we need to make sure we're doing everything we possibly can do to keep our health and our relationships and the open door policy and learning about a customized diet and exercise and a customized probiotic and learning about raw foods and the microbial load and sanitizing our foods. These are things we should be doing every single day. So I hope you'll take the time to do that. Dr. Jeffrey Burke, this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information, visit my segment and all of my segments. Visit the show page at radiomd.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in and being part of the show. Stay well.